All right, go ahead, Larry.
Good. I will call to order this online public meeting. It is August the 19th, 2020. My name is Larry J. Smith, and I'm the chair of the Commission on Aging. Probably something else is historic. This will also be my last meeting as chair. You should be able to see tonight's meeting agenda on your screen. If you cannot see the screen, I will be announcing the agenda items as we move through the meeting topics to keep us all on track. Due to the virus pandemic, meetings of the Clark County Commission on Aging will be held in a virtual meeting room. This will allow for safe participation by commission members, staff, and any citizen interested in attending. Members of the public have joined as attendee, which means you can see and hear the event if you join via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event if you join by phone. Other participants cannot see your video and cannot hear your audio unless you are acknowledged by the commission chair or staff as we are unmuted. And I'm going to ask Jana to help me out with that as we unmute people who are wanting to speak. This afternoon's agenda is planned as follows, and I'll go through it one more time. And as we go through each iteration of it, or sections as we move through it, I'll repeat it again to make sure we stay on track. And I'm also going to be very sensitive to time because there's a lot of things to cover here. And I'm going to ask Jackie and Jana to make sure that we stay on track because so we don't get carried away and go beyond 5:30 or 5 o'clock. This afternoon's agenda is planned as follows. We'll do introductions and welcome to the new member, Tanya Stewart. And we're glad to have her on board. Recognition of Marjorie Lindell. And we'll go around the table just to get caught up on what's been going on because we haven't met, I don't think. The last time we met was in February. So it's been a while since the group has been together. February 19th meeting notes that we'll need to approve. We have a presentation, transportation planning update and proposed amendments to the county's arterial atlas. 2020 community engagement and advocacy focus discussion and next steps. We'll talk about the Senior Citizens Award update and next steps. As you recall, this is our first year. It's an interesting time to present an award. We want to talk about the next steps and how do we handle that particular award. Commission on Aging retreat prep. We'll have officer elections at the end and then any announcements update. And I will allow at that time as well at the conclusion and have the public, if they have any comments at all about their concerns or issues that we have discussed. Now we are excited to welcome our newest member to the commission, Tanya Stewart. We will start with introductions. I'm going to ask her, first of all, to go ahead and make some comments and try to keep that brief, everyone, because I'm going to ask every commissioner to make some comments about themselves. But we'll start off with Tanya and just make comments about who she is and a little bit about her background. That'll help the rest of the commissions to have an appreciation for who you are and what you're about. So with that,
Jenna. Thank you, Larry.
Good.
Great. So this is, hello, everyone. I'm Tanya Stewart. I am very pleased to be here. I've lived in the Pacific Northwest since 1999 and in Clark County since 2002. My background is I'm an internal medicine physician as well as hospice and palliative medicine physician, serving patients in this area since my residency in 1999. I am very pleased to be with the commission. The focus with this team is everything that matters to me, and I'm excited to be engaged.
Okay, we'll go around to the commissioners. I'll call your name. And again, keep it short and then unmute yourself when you're getting ready to talk. And we'll start with the vice chair, Chuck Green.
Thank you, Larry. And Tanya, we've met. I was on the interview panel with you, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But for the community and other members who I haven't seen in like forever, I have a transportation focus, and bringing all sorts of transportation and mobility experience and expertise to the table as far as aging and aging in place. But welcome, and it's good to have you aboard.
Amy?
Hi, welcome to this wonderful commission. We're glad to have you. I've lived in Clark County for 4.5 years. I'm a Los Angeles transplant and really happy to have been transplanted. My background is of a licensed psychologist, and I did a postdoc in geropsychology. And had a lot of personal experience with older people as I become one.
Thank you, Amy. Franklin.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, my name is Franklin Johnson. I'm a former deputy chief information officer for a federal agency back in Washington, D.C. I've lived here in Vancouver and Clark County since 1999, moving back from the East Coast. My wife and I, who is a retired principal, we have a education consulting business, and I also do some consulting with the federal government supporting wildfires. By the way, hello, Tanya, and welcome aboard.
Thank you, Franklin. Megan. Is she unmuted?
I'm excited. Oh, I'm unmuted on my end. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Now? Oh, I'll start over. Megan McCarthy. I am the Systems Director for Community Health for Peace Health. I've been in Vancouver about 3 years, and I get to work on making our communities as healthy as we can. And very excited to have Tanya with us.
Thank you, Megan. Linda.
Welcome, Tanya. I'm Linda O'Leary, and I have lived in Clark County since 2009, and I'm serving my second term, 3-year term as a commissioner, and my background is in early childhood, but I am old, so that qualifies me, and I have a lot of personal experience with being old. So welcome again. Thank you for joining and being willing to serve.
Thank you, Linda. Pam.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, I'm Pam Wheeler. I'm professor of nursing at Linfield University and have been a Ridgefield resident for about 16 years. So hi again, everybody, and welcome to you, Tanya.
Thank you, Pam. And Tanya, I think I mentioned to you before in the interviews, I'm Larry Smith. I've had a career with the city of Vancouver for about 25 years. And just previously served 12 years on the Vancouver City Council. And I'm just happy to be part of this particular commission. And since I am in the category of a senior citizen, I may be the oldest on this commission, I'm just happy to be part of it, to join a real good, diverse group of people who represent our community. So good, we passed
Larry,
that.
Yes. Larry, we missed Nancy.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Nancy. I missed it on my script here. Nancy, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for, I forgot to mute myself. Okay. Did you all hear what I said?
No.
Oh, okay. Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the commission. My name is Nancy Dong, and I've lived here since 2014. So it's been 6 years. And I am I'm a designer of and builder of ADUs. That's specially constructed for folks that want to age in place. And so I'm really excited to be in this group and currently developing a technology that allows natural building, that natural materials. I'm doing like a research and development grant for natural buildings that doesn't off gas, so it's even safer for seniors. Welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. And so, yeah, the rest of the commissioners know, Chuck and I have scripts, thanks to Jacqueline, to keep us on track so we can go through this process and making sure we connect with everyone. Okay, let's move into the next, actually a sad time in a way, because I hate to see folks who volunteer step down and move on, but we're going to say goodbye to one of our commissioners. And I'd like to take this time to recognize and thank former commissioner member Marjorie Lindell for her 6 years of service to the commission and the county. Marjorie has been an integral part of the commission during her tenure. As chair, she led the implementation of the commission's approach to have an annual focus on specific topics from the aging readiness plan that culminated in the development of a policy recommendation that could be successful and amenable to policymakers. She also was the first chair to organize and plan the first summit on housing. Through this work, the commission has strengthened its relationships with community partners and earned the respect and ear of the county council, city councils in Clark County, and the public at large. She has also been a valuable resource in helping to develop and communicate the commission's message over the years through the participation of various Colombian and CVTV media interviews and presentations to public officials. Hopefully, we will continue to get to work with her on efforts to improve the lives of residents of all ages in Clark County. Thank you, Marjorie, for your service to this community. We are really going to miss you. Before I ask the commissioners to say something and Marjorie to say something, we do have two guests here, Oliver from the director, who's director and program manager of the community planning. I think Colette Anderson is with Oliver, and I think they wanted to say something as well. So we want to start with Oliver.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good. Hi, Oliver. How you doing?
Hi. I also want to welcome Tanya to the commission, and seeing all of you. It's good to volunteer to serve the community. So I greatly appreciate that. What can I say about Marjorie? The Commission on Aging, as you all know, was first appointed by our council in May 2012 as a brand new advisory group with the sole mission of implementing the aging readiness plan. I really don't know where to begin. But as a fledgling commission, it didn't know how to fly. It wasn't until Marjorie joined the commission in October of 2014 that things started happening. And I sincerely want to thank her. I don't know if you know this, but Marjorie is a published author, How to Avoid Crossfire and Seek Common Ground, and How to Deal with Community Criticism of Change, were originally published focusing on schools. Little did we know, or did she know, that her vast strategic talent would be stretched to the limit. You know, many times we discuss how to keep the momentum going. As you know, we have little budget, but big hearts. I also want to take this opportunity to thank my entire staff who have worked with you. And Marjorie was always encouraging us when we don't have anywhere to support the group, but her encouragement also encouraged us to work even harder. Somehow the work always get done. So today I can say that without Marjorie, the county may not have a commission on aging. So thank you, Marjorie, and thank you all members of the commission. We have a long way to go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Oliver. Colette?
There we go. Couldn't find the button.
There you go.
It's nice. Thank you. It's nice to see all of you again. It's been a very long time. And I have to admit, Marjorie holds a special place in my heart. She kept me glued together many years, many months, as we were grappling with so many different things. She was also instrumental in bringing in some big names, national speakers that we didn't have before, and elevated the Commission on Aging on a national level. We won a national award for doing the work that we do, and we are now a resource where people call us all across the nation asking us questions. We couldn't have done it without her, and I hope we won't lose sight of her. She'll continue to be around, and I'm going to miss her.
Thank you, Colette.
Thank you.
Marjorie, would you like to make some comments?
Just to say thank you to everybody. It's been a journey, a good journey, and it's good to see that people are continuing to come on, such as Tanya Stewart. I have to admit, while it's been work, it's also been a lot of fun to see the growth in the Commission on Aging and to see it seen and recognized within the community and nationally as a resource and as a force to be reckoned with. So I appreciate the time that I was able to serve, appreciate the staff time that you gave me to help me serve while I was there. And I appreciate everybody on the Commission on Aging. I know Linda O'Leary and I go back almost to the first, I think her first meeting. So for some of us, it's been quite a while. For some of you, you're new. But in any case, we just keep moving along and passing that baton. So thank you very much. And I brought my little commencement hat so you could get an idea that I feel like it's a commencement, not an ending.
Thank you, Marjorie. We have time, and I thought I would just, since Linda served with you the longest, see if Linda has any comments to add about your departure.
Oh, you don't even have to ask me if I have any comments to add. You know I'll have comments to add. Being with Marjorie, it was sheer joy. She is so poised, articulate. She is what any organization would want in a commissioner or council member. Experience matters to her. She is so willing. I'm so impressed when she says, you know, we're really bringing up the next generation. Of course, I think I'm, you know, 15 or 20, and I'm way beyond that. But she is elegant, eloquent, and I so will miss you, Marjorie. But I know you're a phone call away. Thank you for being you. You'll be missed.
Thank you, Linda. We have a few minutes. Does anyone else want to add and make any comments about Marjorie at all? Yes, Amy.
Marjorie, you were the first person to welcome me into the commission, and you've always been available if I had questions, if I wanted advice, if I wanted to discuss ideas, some of which were less popular than others. And I've just always known that you were there. And as Linda says, you're a phone call away. I've never hesitated to call you. I hope I don't have to hesitate anymore, even though I won't see you at meetings. So I wish you all the best for every future endeavor. You're the only limitation of what you're going to do is what you're interested in, and you'll add value to any organization you work with.
Thank you, Amy. Is anyone else in the other commissioners have any comments? Yes, I saw Chuck.
So Marjorie is one of those that I've seen her over the years. She was one that encouraged me to get involved with the Commission on Aging. We keep saying farewell, we'll miss you. If I know Marjorie, we're not going to miss her. She's like the Energizer Bunny of getting involved with things. So we'll see her. So I'm gonna do my raise hand thing as a clapping mechanism. So here's clapping for Marjorie. Marjorie, I hope to see you soon, and thank you very much for all that you've done for our community.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Is anyone else? Is that Franklin? Franklin.
Yes. Yes. Marjorie, I've seen you in various activities involved with the city of Vancouver and with the county, and you have been an inspiration to me to get more involved and to serve the community. And I just want to thank you for the inspirational example you have set. I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Franklin. Is anyone else? Miss anyone? Okay. We got everyone here. Marjorie, best of luck.
Thank you.
Stay committed to us. We'll need your help.
All right.
Okay, let's move over. Okay. Let's move over to the next segment. And Chuck and I put this in because we thought, since we hadn't been together since February, so it's been about 7 months. We'd like to take the opportunity for each commissioner member to share an experience, observation, or comment about what has been going on in the last several months. As we have a lot to cover tonight, please make your comments short, you know, just no more than a minute or a couple minutes. That would be helpful. And we'll go down the list. I'll call your name, and we'll start off with Nancy.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you know, one of the things that really struck me most about this whole COVID thing is things got to be opposite ends, meaning the polarity got intensified and the sense of community was intensified. I'm actively on the Nextdoor platform and also the Buy Nothing group platform, where people reach out to each other if they are needed. And I see people volunteer to deliver meals and give things. And so people are taking care of each other despite of the COVID. And that's the only thing that I go on social media for. And then I just signed off of all the other social media because there's just too much noise, political and otherwise. So that's been my observation experience.
Thank you, Nancy. Chuck?
Thank you, Larry. Well, Larry and I did two interviews with reporters over the summer. One made the Reflector with Cameron Cass article. The other we didn't make, but it morphed into an article featuring our friend Esther Schrader and others about isolation and how seniors are coping with COVID. My project management and business consulting business, we moved to the cloud last year, so I've been able to adapt. I've actually succeeded in designing 3 miles of pedestrian walkway without even having to go to the city of Warrenton to see the project that we're designing until last week. The thing that I think I'm finding is that we've gotten polarized politically, but the technology, I think, has also created some separation. And that's those who have adapted to technology have kind of moved with it in this COVID era. Those that aren't really attuned to technology like this, I think, are becoming more isolated. I'd like to have a discussion later in our meeting about that. But it's great to see everybody. It's been, 7 months now, since 6 months? And thank you. I appreciate the time to just catch you up on what I've done on my summer vacation.
Thanks, Chuck. Amy.
Well, my garden is very grateful for the pandemic because I've had time to plant well and harvest well. And that part has been a great pleasure for me. Had to cancel 2 family vacations. We celebrated my husband's birthday with a driveway party and with a Zoom party for family that's out of state. And that was all a lot of fun. It wasn't the same, but it was a lot of fun. And my son's girlfriend, who he lives with in Los Angeles, tested positive for the virus. So I ramped up my mother worry skills, and my son finally said, "Don't text me so much. I'll let you know how she is every day." And the truth is, within 2 weeks, she tested positive. She had a very mild case. So that's good. And they're very sure they don't want to come up and visit because who knows? You know, they're very clear that I'm in a high risk group and they're not. The only other thing I want to just let everybody know is Thursday next week, I'm having surgery on both of my wrists, so I won't be available to do much, including type on the computer for 3 or 4 weeks after that, but I'll be fine. I'll get my wrists back.
Good. Okay, thank you, Amy. Franklin.
This has really been a truly interesting time. We've been pretty much sheltering in place, and it's been a time to really focus on the value of the relationships you have for both my wife and myself. We were blessed to be able to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary during this period of time, and it was kind of a low-key affair. We had to cancel some out of the country trips that we had planned for several months. But on the other hand, we've been doing some work with culturally responsive teaching practices, which was my wife's doctoral thesis. But our business has kind of evolved, seeing as how there hasn't been much happening in the way of schools and at least face-to-face education. But it's kind of evolved into dealing with some of the spinoff issues, difficult conversations and so forth around some of the major demonstrations and protests around Black Lives Matter. On a little bit of a downer, we ended up going down to Georgia to attend the funeral of a distant relative who was a member of Congress. And it was quite an honor to see the respect and the tribute that was made to him. Just recently, last week, I had a chance to sit on an interview panel for a new fire chief in Vancouver, because the existing fire chief will be retiring sometime this fall. So that kind of capsulizes my summer, but it's been a time of insight and reflection for me, and I really kind of appreciated the slowdown.
Thank you, Franklin. And thank you for your service on that selection for a new fire chief as well.
Hey, Franklin, I didn't know you were talking about John Lewis. Was that the congressman that you went back east for?
Yes, sir.
I did not realize that you were related to him.
It's a very distant relationship, but my wife insisted that we go. So it was really kind of interesting to meet some family members that I barely knew and some that I had never met before.
Well, he's one of my idols. And my wife and I, when we were back east, we visited the Martin Luther King Museum and the church where he preached. And there was a lot about John Lewis there and his experience on the bridge in Alabama. So he was an honorable man, and hope his legacy continues.
Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. I spent over 25 years in Washington, D.C., and he really was a guiding force. I met him two or three times before I realized that we had a distant family connection. So he's been really inspirational for me as well in looking at things from a bigger lens. So it's been a real time of reflection for us. So, but anyway, I appreciate your comments.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. And Franklin, thanks for going back there too. He's an extraordinary individual, and the legacy is that we need to make sure we pass it on to the next generation of who he was and what he's all about. So thank you very much. Megan.
How's that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Well, many of you know what healthcare has been dealing with. So every day is sometimes very different than the day before. I've been working a lot on our supply chain and working on our personal protective equipment and making sure we have enough supplies and utilizing our community partnerships, really with our free clinics and our FQHCs and other partners, Meals on Wheels and things like that, to make sure that we are, that no one is falling through the cracks during this time, and trying to make sure we're strengthening that network And overall, just seeing what opportunities, what we can learn from this. Certainly, we've made some really great improvements on the telehealth side, which were a long time coming. So excited for things in the future that we'll be able to take a lot of learning from this time and move it forward.
Megan, Linda.
Well, I think this has been a moment of pause for all of us. I have two children that are nurse practitioners, one in the area and one in Bellingham, and it really makes it personal when you see the dedication that they give, also the amount of risk they put themselves through. I think someone said this is like we're fighting a war, and we are in essence, but we can all do our part, and I'm fighting the war from my couch here. Where I'm at here, my couch. And, you know, and it's a lot easier than watching my brother march off to war in Vietnam and not come back. So I think that is, we can all wear a mask and do our part. And that's all.
Thank you, Linda. Tanya.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
So I'll echo a couple things. One, it has been a nice moment of reflection for our family, for sure. My father is still very active in seeing patients in Southern California, and I had to spend some time getting his practice. He's 84, getting his practice safe for him to see patients, and that was in itself, you know, quite an intense challenge. I would say that the end is far from near, and I don't mean to say that in a negative way. I think that there's going to be a lot more lessons that we have ahead of us, and most specifically, the lessons on and ways that we need to be creative in really supporting populations that may have challenges that we don't understand, that many of us may not understand. So I am looking forward to really learning about how you know I can individually, or we can as a community, really affect change.
Yeah, thank you, Tanya, and again, welcome to the commission. Pam.
Well, with the pandemic and in nursing education, in the end of March, we went totally from face to face to almost all online education, and it just was quite an experience, just turning everything upside down. And it was hard for us, for faculty, but it was also hard for students. And so we've been learning different ways of communicating with one another through Zoom. So we reduce some of that isolation that I think students can feel from their faculty. And overall, I'm very proud of the resilience and perseverance of students moving through their education with all this tremendous change, and makes me very hopeful for the future of care, quite frankly. So that was my journey.
Thanks, Pam. I just have a couple of things. First of all, is learning that this is a very caring community. It's really amazing to see all the volunteers come out and participate and help one another out, whether it's folks that need food or whether it's volunteering to for their church and to help, or someone in need of clothing and so forth. It's really super. And then the last thing I mentioned to folks that are being very careful where we are in our society and everything else, of making conclusions about groups of individuals. We watch news and all of a sudden we paint those individuals as being all the same. I'll give you an example. I hear comments made about Portland people because they watch the demonstrations at night and the riots and so forth, and then make a generalization about all Portland people. And they're not all like that. They're all different. This is a small group of individuals that have caused them some concerns, and they're at Portland. It's trying to deal with it, but making conclusions about groups of individuals and categorizing those individuals. Portland's a wonderful community, has great individuals in there. They care about their people and so forth, and they're just going through some difficult time. So those are two lessons I've learned and are being actually reinforced. So I'm thankful about that. Thank you for your comments. That's kind of fun to go around and see where people are and where they're coming from, and because it really demonstrates how diverse we are as a commission and our backgrounds and so forth, which makes really the strength of our commission. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on because I'm sensitive about time, and to make sure that we get our potty breaks in there if we need to. So I'll move on, and we'll move on to the next session, and that's the February 19th, 2020 meeting notes. And we need to, I need a motion to approve those. And I'll take the first one. It unmutes themselves and says approved, and then I'll take a second. Jenna, you can help me out on that. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 19, 2020?
Larry, I move to approve.
Okay, that sounds like, okay, gotcha, Franklin. Okay.
And I second.
And that's Amy to second. Okay. And all in favor, raise your hand. Okay.
Is that an electronic raise or a hand raise on screen?
How about a hand raise on screen? Jenna, can you do that as well? Because I think it's all going to be unanimous. Okay. All right. The minutes have been approved. Okay. It looks like I've got here my script, and I see Jackie's there, I think. It says we need to take a roll call to approve the meeting minutes as well.
I think you're good. I think we got everyone.
I think I'm good too. I saw that. Okay. Jackie states how many yes and no's. I think it's unanimous.
It's unanimous.
Okay.
And I think, Larry, as part of that, we talked about using this, I guess, pseudo roll call as a determination that we have a quorum.
Yeah.
And confirmation of attendance.
Yeah.
So it's, I would just like to note for the record that we have a quorum. It looks like we have all members participating, and for public meeting disclosure, all members have access to audio and video records as we were going through this meeting, so we're able to communicate as if we were in a meeting together.
Okay. And I after the and I will so it goes on record. The meeting minutes motion passes unanimously. Okay, now we can go into our presentation, and we have a presentation by Gary Albrecht from the Clark County Public Works and the proposed arterial atlas amendments. So Gary, you're on.
Hi Larry, thank you Chair. Nice to see you Commission. So I'll just make this brief for us. So the proposal is to amend the Clark County Comprehensive Plan Arterial Atlas map to include improved transportation mobility options and improved safety. So what we're looking at are, so we're reclassifying these roads to include bike lanes to improve safety for bicyclists by moving travel lanes farther away from the edge of the road. Better visibility for motorists and cyclists entering a roadway from a driveway or side street, along with better turning space and sight distance for all drivers, and better ability for drivers to safely pass on the right when other vehicles are turning left. So those are just a few of the improvements that will be made for the transportation network. Just a quick overview of the arterial atlas for those of you who aren't familiar with it. So it's a supporting document to the comprehensive plan. The arterial atlas is a long-range roadway system with the land use plan for Clark County. It sets the course for future growth in our community, promoting strong links between transportation and land use. The atlas identifies arterials and collectors and specifies the design of the facilities in general terms. So these proposed amendments support the livability of our community by providing mobility options that allow all ages and abilities to connect with our communities, as mentioned in the Aging Readiness Plan, the Transportation and Mobility chapter. So I don't want to talk about every specific amendment, but just in general, so 1 through 11 We're reclassifying road segments from two-lane collectors to either a two-lane collector with a bike lane or a two-lane minor arterial that include bike lanes. That's 1 through 11. Then 12 to 14 are roadway segment realignments. And those are mainly in the 503, the 117th area on the center right of the map. And that's about all I have, unless someone has questions. I'm happy to talk about them.
I see Amy's hand. Go ahead, Amy.
Is this map available online somewhere?
Yeah, Amy, it is posted on our meeting page under this date.
Thank you.
For this meeting. Mm-hmm.
Chuck, did you have anything to add?
I do have a couple of questions. First, Gary, I didn't realize you were in Public Works now.
Oh, yes. Hi.
why did you go to the dark side?
I was offered a job, so I took it.
Okay. So I have the benefit of living up in north part of Mount Vista and walking distance from the 159th reclassification. I do know that road goes through down the hill to 20th Avenue. I'm kind of curious. It almost looks like a dead end on this map. What is expected? And we have another one to the east over in Brush Prairie. But what is expected with those that look like they're dead ends as far as the bike classification? Is there an actual connection that continues, or what happens with those?
Well, so the Clark County Bicycle Pedestrian Master Plan has that as identified a proposed bike route. So it would connect down to 20th and eventually up into 179th.
Okay.
And then, so it's hard to zoom in, but that's it's 29th to the east of the 10 right there. So that's a bike lane. That road has a bike lane on it, so it just helps complete the network.
Yeah, that'd be the other 20th Avenue. I live off of 29th, which does not have a bike lane. It has a lot of parking along it and some narrow stretches. So,
right, but it's designated to have a bike lane.
Right.
So eventually, whenever it decides to get paved, then it would, you know, it would improve the mobility options for everyone in the neighborhood.
Okay, so this reclassification doesn't mean that bikes have to turn around in 159th, that they can continue kind of in the share of the road configuration as they go west the 20th, is that correct?
They would just continue riding on the road as a normal vehicle following the rules of the road.
And this is probably more for discussion at our retreat next month, but the topic of micromobility has gotten to be pretty substantial in the last couple of years, especially for those who are more physically impaired or mobility impaired, which including our age group. Is there going to be a consideration to open up bike lanes for electric powered tricycles or carts or other micro mobility devices in the future? Has that been a discussion?
Well, you know, so we're Public Works is working on a transportation system plan. So that will look at all of those upcoming issues,
you know, okay.
The different types of mobility devices that we have available to us and where they fit and where they belong. So the e-bikes, you know, the electric scooters, mm-hmm. all that stuff, where do they belong and how can they fit with our network? So we're discussing that and trying to figure that out.
Would there be an opportunity to have a discussion with the Commission on Aging when you get further along in that process?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Welcome to the Public Works side of the world.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
Any other commissioners have any comments they want to make? Go ahead, unmute yourself and state your name.
Hi, this is Nancy. I have a question regarding basic vocabulary. What is a two-lane collector and versus like a minor arterial? Like, what is it?
Jackie, can you scroll down on that PDF? There we go. So it's the roadway width. So, you know, on the two-lane collector, there are no bike lanes for it, but there is parking allowed. And with the two-lane collector with bike lanes, there's no parking allowed. And no parking allowed is on the minor arterial as well. And in these locations we've looked at, the parking is underutilized. A lot of these subdivisions are built and the backs of the houses are on these collector roads. So they're not utilizing parking.
Okay. All right, any other commissioners have any questions? Just unmute yourself and state your name. Okay, don't think we have any more commissioners. On my script here, we have an opportunity for anyone in the public that may be watching this that makes any comments they would like to. And I'm gonna ask Jackie, you're gonna provide instructions on how to raise your hand to be called on to speak.
Yes. So it looks like, looking at the attendee list, I think everybody is joining from using their computer or internet. Jenna, can you pull up the slide for the instructions? There we go. So for those of you that are joining us, if you haven't used WebEx before, to let us know that you would like to ask a question or have a comment, you want to raise your hand and use that raised hand icon. And to find it, if you don't see it, you want to hover at the bottom of your screen for this menu to pop up with these circle icons. Click on that participant icon, the one with looks like a person. And once you click on that, then you should see the hand icon on the bottom right corner of your screen. So if any one of our guests that are in our audience would like to make a comment about the presentation on the Arterial Atlas Amendments, if you could raise your hand now and we'll call on you to unmute you.
No, I'm not seeing any raised hands.
Okay.
A couple more seconds, but I have a feeling no comments on this topic.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Jackie. Let me bring this back to the commissioners to see if they have any other comments. And then if there's any action that we should take, such as an authorization to the chair to draft a letter of support, a letter of suggestions back to the county. It's your call, commissioners. Any comments?
Chair, I would like to make a motion that we support the chair sending a letter of support for these amendments to, I guess that would be the county manager or whoever receives the comments on the Arterial Atlas amendments.
I second.
It's the planning commission and then the council, right?
Yep.
Okay. Would you say that time, Chuck, make sure it's clear?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that the chair send a letter to the Planning Commission and County Council supporting the Arterial Atlas amendments that Gary had presented.
We have a
second.
All in favor, raise your hand. Okay, looks like it's unanimous. Did you get that, Jenna, Jackie?
Yes, who was, I missed who the second was.
I am.
Oh, okay. Linda.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to do a letter at passes, motion passes, and we'll do a letter that was outlined by Chuck back to the county. Okay, super.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Commission.
Yep, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to give us, and we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Oh, good. Bye.
Maybe in different circumstances.
Yes, hopefully.
Okay, let's move on to the next item. I think we're doing pretty good on time. Next item on the agenda is the 2020 community engagement focus. And Jackie, will you introduce the agenda item?
Sure. So the commission had planned to spend this year visiting each city and holding a joint meeting with each city council. And the goal is to discuss issues related to older adults and livability of the communities within Clark County and getting feedback from local residents within those cities and areas. So unfortunately, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we were unable to do our visits to these cities, and we've had to cancel those or hopefully reschedule in the future for when we all can get back together. So next month, we'll have our retreat in September, but we still have October and November and perhaps December. Usually we do take December off, but this is a discussion item. We want to kind of think about what would the commission like to focus on for the rest of this year instead of going to visit the cities. We know that we've brought up what we've heard talking to Larry and Buck. There's been, you know, there's always the concern with isolation with older adults, but this has been elevated even more so with the COVID and staying at home. There's also been the issues with the nursing care facilities and the infection rate going into those. So we want to see if there, and this is just an idea to kind of start the conversation because we want to hear from you all, but are there people, organizations you want to hear from, or, you know, people in the community that are working with our older adults that you may want to hear from to kind of listen and find out what, how our community is doing and if there's anything the commission could advocate for or work on. So that's kind of what we wanted to propose to kind of see how we can finish up this year in current circumstances.
Commissioners? Just unmute yourself and.
Okay. Hi, it's Linda. I'd like to hear a little bit about other volunteer organizations that directly benefit seniors and how they are carrying those out, especially those that visit, say, nursing homes and assisted living homes. How are they carrying this out? The ombudsman. And how is, like, the food banks? What's the status? Because everything has been kind of flipped over and it's hard to know where the need is in this age group and what's happening to support mental health and all of these things. So really anyone in those categories would be really interesting to me and helpful.
Following up, Linda, my wife is one of the, board members and organizers of the Clark Neighbors Food Project, otherwise known as the Green Bag Project. We just had they pick up every 2 months from a variety of neighborhoods and deliver to the different food banks. The interesting part is when we dropped at Fish, they were mentioning that their number of elderly or older citizens has dropped since COVID has started, and that I find is a very interesting anecdotal statistic as to, you know, that it has, and finding out the reasons why. They did mention the reasons why, but I think we need to have a discussion because it does mean that it gets a little more difficult to get food out to, healthy food out to our neighbors who are basically isolated now that they might not want to go to the food banks to pick things up.
Right. I even think that Meals on Wheels, which my husband volunteers for, sometimes they're just afraid. They have a little information about COVID and they're afraid anyone who might bring things might be bad. So, I mean, I think we all need some information, the community as well as us, to be educated on it.
Yeah, and I might add to what Linda said and Chuck, because of some of that fear of getting out into the public. The Fish Pantry tonight, downtown Fish Pantry, every Wednesday from 5 to 7 is doing drive-ups. so the seniors don't have to get out of a car or anything like that. And it's very, the protocols are very strict as far as a food box being given to the individuals that drive up. So we made that as easy as possible because there is some fear. And likewise, Linda, I distribute Meals on Wheels, and I've seen that seniors are just leery about getting out and concerned about that. And that's something we're probably going to have to deal with for the next several months till they get over the fear and are comfortable. And that's going to be some time. Anyone else?
I wonder if there are any volunteer organizations that we can partner with that may have maybe it's a neighborhood organization where we can do like a reach out of to folks that are above a certain age, or if they know that they're homebound, to just check in with them on a regular basis, just a phone call, like a 10-minute phone call once a week, a couple times a week, checking in. Is there any way that we can do that? Or what do you guys think about the idea?
I think
Nancy, this is Tanya. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, please go.
I think it's already being done by, somebody tell me the name of it, something Clark County. Is it Neighborhood Clark County? Or have lots of volunteers who are doing just what you're talking about. I wanted to bring up, no, Tanya, you go ahead. I'm going to change the subject.
I was just going to say, I thought I had heard, and Megan might have comments on this, but I thought I had heard that Meals on Wheels was trying to do some outreach. I don't think it was telephonic. I thought it was tablet based. And that was one thing that I wanted to bring up is, what did they find? Did seniors engage, et cetera? Amy, I'll let you speak, unless Megan, you had comments on Meals on Wheels, since I think you have some connections there.
Megan, you first.
Megan.
Okay, thank you. Yes, there's a lot of organizations doing direct service, so I don't know if we need to insert ourselves into that lane. Meals on Wheels is doing a lot of different options, and I think we're trying to find, there's not one size fits all. So I think there's a tremendous amount of effort going on in that area. So I think if there's ways we can support them or communicate and facilitate the work they're doing, but I don't think there's need for more cooks in the kitchen.
Okay. Thank you, Megan. Anyone else? Amy?
I, as you know, I'm the liaison between the Commission on Aging and the Public Health Department. And I got a notice last week that they are going to have a focus this year on reaching out to the Pacific Islander community, and wanted to know if we have any focus on individual populations like that group, or if we wanted to. I have no information on whether they're writing a grant and they want our support or not, but I just wanted to introduce the concept of not just talking about seniors, but seniors from various ethnic and different communities from different places.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments?
I did want to actually say something. So one, I know that this is a Commission on Aging. I do always ponder, want to ask questions as to how can we always improve our efficiencies and the populations that we're trying to serve. So the question really is there an opportunity to bridge the aging population with what the school districts might be doing, or maybe leverage some of that? I'm a newbie. I don't know if I'm going to get shot through this WebEx call for making a comment like that. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of work that schools are trying to do, and it does feel like there may be some duplication, that maybe there's could be a partnership opportunity.
The Public Health Department does a lot with children, and because of my connection, making the connection between the Commission on Aging and the community service part of the Public Health Department, they're calling with questions like, we're going to do this with younger populations. How can we add seniors? How can we focus on seniors, which they were not doing before? So yeah, there's an opportunity there to work together.
Yeah, and Tanya, just another thing, the downtown Fish Pantry has reached out to the Vancouver School District about partnering wherever it's appropriate. So that is ongoing as well. to making sure that we don't leave anyone out. So there's a concerted effort to do that too. And I'm sure there's other pantries of reaching out, certainly to the Evergreen School District. So yeah, that's a good point. Okay, for the sake of time, let me see if there's any more commission and see if Jackie needs anything else. You got enough, Jackie, to work with?
I think so. I think Jen and I will put some ideas together for a schedule for maybe some speakers to come in for October, November, and potentially December. We can talk more about that. And then we'll have Larry and Chuck take a look. And depending on time, maybe we can discuss at September, or if we need to get someone scheduled more quickly in October, we'll work with the chair and vice chair.
Yeah, and I will mention to the commissioners as well, if anything else comes up, just go ahead and email Jackie to include it in her list as she does the checking on this. Okay.
Yeah. And we'll share with the entire commission so we can get feedback from all of you guys.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jackie. Okay, let's move on to the next item, and it's the Silver Citizens Award, our very first award. We are supposed to hear the recommendations from the award committee in our March meeting, which did not occur. At that time, Chuck and I would like to regroup on this and hear from the commission on how to proceed with presenting this award, as we will most likely not be able to hold any in-person meetings for quite some time. And I don't see any in-person meetings until, if we're fortunate, maybe November, December, but I'm not sure. As we want to make sure this recipient receives the public accolades and celebration they deserve, we would like to hear what the commission would like to do regarding the Silver Citizen Award. The next step is to schedule the commission to officially select the recipient after reviewing the committee's recommendation. Before we do that, we need to decide how to present the award. If we cannot have an award presentation in person, what are some alternative options and what would the commission like to do? And let me ask Jackie and Chuck if they have anything else to add to that.
I think I would just like to ask Jackie if you could give a little bit of a timeline of the logistics. You know, what kind of award is it? How long does it take to put together the award so we know what timeline we're working with as far as making a selection and then inviting them for a recognition?
I've never done an award, but just kind of knowing, you know, facilitating that kind of thing, I would assume you would probably need, probably a month would be good for when we were to place an order to get the actual physical award if we were going to do that. So yeah, I would think about a month out we would need to have for that.
And I noticed, Jackie, as well, that the Senior Heroes Awards have been, at least I saw that in an email, have been selected and people have been notified, but I'm not sure how they're going to present that award. It may be interesting just to talk to, is it Julie? Julie Williams?
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, and how they went about doing that and, you know, what's the best way to do that? Because I hate to put someone in limbo for a long period of time and it loses its emphasis. And this really is supposedly a 2020 award. And we're
right.
we're moving into the latter part of 2020.
I thought 2020 has been canceled or either that it's been 3 years long.
God, I sure hope so. All right.
I think just on the logistics side and to kind of help with the discussion, if we were to take action in October, then what I'm hearing from Jackie is we could present the award virtually, I guess, in November, because typically I believe we do not have a December meeting. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, historically we've tried to get all of our work done for the year and have December off.
But historically we have a meeting in February, March, April, May, and June. And July,
exactly.
So
that's right.
I think the Silver Heroes, the Silver Heroes had a whole page in the Columbian, And yeah. I mean, we're probably not gonna be able to do that, but I think people are expecting virtual communication on everything. So, you know, we can take a picture of the award being handed sort of to the side of someone's screen in their living room. And then the acceptance can be from the other side of the screen in the awardee's living room. I don't know how we can really do it, but I think everyone is understanding about that.
Okay. Looks like Franklin has a question or comment.
Is it possible that we could use this as kind of a PR event as well, and maybe rig something up with one of the TV stations, especially like Channel 2 in Portland? They do a lot of coverage over in Vancouver, and I just wondered if we could, you know, tie it in to maybe get some TV coverage of the person getting the award, and kind of, you know, send out a message to the community that, you know, not only are seniors active, but are being recognized, and also talk a little bit about the commission. Thoughts?
Yeah, Jackie? And that might be, that's a good thought, I think, if Franklin has. Clark Vancouver TV, I'm not sure they're doing any work up there or not, because I've tried to contact them for something else, and they told me that, you know, they're pretty much limited budget, so forth. But trying to get publicity out of this would be certainly nice. And making that person that we've selected feel good about themselves and that award mean something. Because it does. So maybe we can explore that. But I certainly like the November timeframe that Chuck says, because the longer we wait, you know, we just don't know what the unknown is. And I think the person needs to receive that award.
Okay. Nancy, did you have a question?
No, it wasn't a question. I second that motion. I actually was just thinking about that. I was just thinking, what is the broadest possible way for us to broadcast this award? Because it's one thing if we do it among ourselves, but that kind of defeats the purpose, right? If we were to broadcast it out and just say, hey, look, this is still happening. Just, you know, we're still looking for creative ways to acknowledge people and recognize them. So I think I really like Franklin's idea. So that's all I want to say.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, Franklin, we got Franklin, is that a question or comment?
Yeah, just a follow-up. Larry, I was thinking about Channel 2 over in Portland. They do a lot of coverage of the in Vancouver and of the city council meetings from time to time. And I thought that would be a nice way to kind of broadcast it out on a little wider basis. So just a thought.
Okay.
So
it sounds like we've got a little bit of a consensus to move forward to November timeframe.
Looks like Pam's got a question and
okay,
Tanya.
Sorry.
Okay, just would you just remind me who our awardee is, and if that person hasn't been notified, have they? No. So where we are, we had the committee that have reviewed all the nominations and came up with a recommendation. And that recommendation is to go to the whole commission for the official, you know, approval. And that was supposed to happen in March. So we haven't done that step yet. So the person, and no one knows except for the committee members who it is. So that would be step one. So that's what we're talking about could happen in October. Yeah, okay.
Been so long, I don't remember.
Okay, we've got we got a plan there, Jackie.
I think so. I see Tanya's hand up. Did you have a question, Tanya?
I was just gonna suggest that whatever plan we do, we should probably maybe layer on social media aspect if we are able to. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's a ton of different you know platforms that we can use to really elevate the discussion. So I'm happy to help with that.
Okay, thank you. I've got some ideas in my head, so I'm going to see what I can come up with regarding the press piece, and we'll report back to you guys and let you know what our opportunities are.
Good. Thank you. Good discussion, commissioners. Okay, we got two more items here. Let's see, the next item we want to talk about is the September the 16th commission retreat. And Jackie, you want to share some details about that?
Sure. So typically we do the retreat in June, I think, is in our bylaw. I always get confused because we changed it. But it's usually after our new members join. So I think it's the June meeting, so that we come up with what our plan is for the following year. And the past few years, we've been picking a focus area from the aging readiness plan to spend the year and delving deeper into. Of course, this year didn't quite go on as planned. Some ideas that we can talk about at the retreat have to do with what you want to do next year. So that's kind of the one piece of it. So these are kind of three subtopics that Jenna and I have come up with that we think you probably want to discuss during your retreat. The 2021 focus. Things that we thought of, do we just try to redo what we were going to do this year, next year, or do we do something different? So kind of start thinking about that kind of conversation. Also, weren't able to have our summit for the healthy communities topic. We were, scheduled to have it in April with Secretary Wiesman from the Department of Health. Obviously, he's very busy. And so kind of figuring out what do we want to do with that? So that's another piece of a conversation. And then, of course, we always have our liaison role. So like Abe mentioned, she's liaison to the Public Health Advisory Council and Public Health. We have I think, Amy, you also go to some of those ADRN meetings. So we have some commission members that participate. So if there's a conversation about that. So these are the three main things that Jenna and I have thought about, but we wanted to run it by you all to see if you agree or if you want to add anything so that we can have that agenda ready for you for the 16th.
Commissioners?
If I may, just a thought. Because of the COVID and its intense impact on the communities, especially for the elders, I think it would be really useful. Sorry, that's my cat who wants out.
Another commissioner.
Yeah. He represents the senior cat community. I think it's important for us to really address how COVID has impacted the elder population and how we can kind of pivot our focus to support that better. Like telemedicine would be one thing. And how also if we have loved ones in homes, senior homes. So what is next if that's no longer safe for them to be in senior homes? So, things like that addresses the current topic of how this is affecting us. Because I have a feeling it's here to stay, or at least it's altering the way we interact with one another, the way, I think it's just permanently going to make a mark. And I think it would be good for us to address that.
Good. Thank you, Nancy. Any other commissioners?
I agree. I think we need to radically look at why we have stopped meeting. It's not because there was a flood and now it's over. I mean, it's a whole new world. And I think the hardest segment of that population are seniors in terms of not only being cared for, I know they're being cared for, but losing out on the social media aspect or whatever. But I think we really need education for us in the community about accessing healthcare and how it's different. And what do you do if you're not internet, savvy or don't have a computer? I mean, there's those disenfranchised populations of Vancouver. And again, I'm still really concerned, as others are here too, about the school districts. Heard very little about what help they need, but hear a lot about their frustration in providing online school. But overall, I think we may need to really kind of flip ourselves over and see, do we really even want to worry about the fact that we missed having some kind of a training in April that would mean nothing now to me, because I think we need, if we're going to have a training, we need to have it on way other subjects besides what we studied 18 months ago. That's just me. But that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, any other commissioners? Thank you. Jackie, you got enough?
I think so. We'll get the agenda together, and so we'll try to get it out as soon as we can, at least a week out, but maybe more, just to give you time to think things through and, you know, be ready for a retreat discussion. Nancy, did you have something?
Yeah, as a follow-up to what I just spoke about. Also, how seniors socialize, being a high-risk group, you know, being together physically, even if you're in a pod, may not be so safe. So what are some ways that people can healthily interact with each other? So online bingos, I mean, you can't have dances anymore, you can't have dinners anymore. So, you know, what are some alternatives? And so, you know, brainstorming about that. Socialization is a way to combat isolation. So I think they're, you know, it sounds trite, socialization, but I think it's important in this context. So thanks.
Yeah, and I can add something. Nancy, I had a discussion with a couple of school teachers. One of the things they're going to really need help on is folks helping kids, especially kids that really had been getting the attention at home. From the spring semester, you know, some of them don't have computers. The teacher that teaches my grandson hasn't even heard from at least three or four of their kids. She doesn't even know where they are. And these kids are going to come back into the system, and they're going to be so far behind, and they're going to have a real impact on those classes, because some kids will be way ahead of others, some will not. So one of the things she was mentioning to me is trying to organize seniors wherever they can, because of their experience and so forth, to help become sort of tutors, help out with the education, and come in periodically with two or three kids and provide instruction. You got to be sensitive about that and the protocols, and I understand that, but that they're really going to need some help in that particular area. And I thought about that for a while, and she says, the best thing in the world is seniors, because automatically kids have a lot of respect for seniors. They listen to them, and when they talk, and so that's a good thought. It's something we probably can explore, and I'm going to explore more with a couple of teachers I know. How do we go about doing that?
Larry, you sound like you're talking about in-person tutoring.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking about?
Yep, a little bit later on, yep.
Okay, because the schools are not doing in-person teaching.
Yeah, I'm talking about when they get back into the classrooms, of getting those individuals caught up. They're going to be behind in the classrooms.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Well, and maybe to follow up on that, because we've been our church's liaisons in a faith-based partnership with Sacagawea Elementary, even remote tutoring, is that a possibility? As well as, you know, a number of people in our church who, especially those who've retired, have been lunch buddies with students. Is there a way to be a virtual lunch buddy as part of that? So I think we could expand on that with, for those of us who have the technology and have the time, is there a way to set up virtual tutoring and coordination with students?
Okay, thanks, Chuck. I'll do some more check and bring some of that information to the retreat. That may be worthwhile to look at. Okay. All right, anyone else? Jackie, got enough?
I think so, yep.
Amy?
I just wanted to add on to what I said from the Public Health Department. Do we want to look at working with individual populations that may need more of our services than others? I mean, I just don't think about the Pacific Islander population of Clark County, but they are thinking about them, and maybe there's a group of seniors who need special help that we can look into.
Okay. Thank you, Amy. Okay.
Pam.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jackie.
Pam, that's okay. This is Pam. I'm curious how community and senior centers are dealing with the pandemic and the populations they're serving. Do we know?
I can tell you the Lupke Senior Center and the Furstenberg, they're closed.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, they're closed. There's no one, and this is going to be an impact of bringing senior programs back. Because you have a very difficult thing to do. And of course, you know, the Luke Center was serving about, during the week, probably 50 folks would come in there for that socialization and that meal. And of course, they no longer have that. And there's just no timeline. It just depends on what phase the state goes into next, where you allow that. And then, whether that applies to seniors, whether they'll be able to participate in those types of events. So pretty challenging.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
This is more of a philosophical statement. I was watching a documentary about Abraham Lincoln's last day, and it said something about when the treaty was signed at Appomattox, everybody was so relieved after 4 years of war. And I thought, if we have 4 years of this, it's going to be a great relief. And if we want it really badly and pretend that it's going to happen soon, I don't have any impression or evidence that this is going to be over this year or next year. And who knows? Yeah. I think it's important we remember we don't know.
Yeah, you just got to have hope. Okay, Jackie, you got enough there. We can go into the next topic here on our agenda, and that's the elections for the chair and vice chair and the Commission on Aging. I had two individuals that have been interested, that have expressed interest, and I'll check once again. Chuck has expressed interest in the chair position, and a guy named Larry Smith has expressed interest in the vice chair position. So I don't have any others, unless there's others out there we don't know about. So if there's not any others, I'll just move on and see if I accept a motion for the chair position of Chuck Green.
I make that motion.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Out of protocol and courtesy, I will abstain.
Okay, I'll be open. Aye. Okay, it looks like
The other thing out of Robert's rules, Larry, we probably needed to see if there were any nominations and then close the nominations before.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's see if there's any other nominees there besides, and we'll start out with the chair, with Chuck Green. Are there other nominations besides Chuck Green?
I move nominations be closed.
Okay, we are closed. Okay, now we can go for the vote. Okay, all in favor of Chuck Green as the new chair of the Commission on Aging. Go ahead and say aye.
Aye.
And I will abstain.
Okay. Okay. I note that one abstention, and it looks like we have everyone else in favor of Chuck as the new chair of the Commission on Aging. Jackie, see anything else?
Nope. We're good.
Good to go. Okay.
So, I think we need a nomination for vice chair.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up now.
Okay.
Do we have two leaders right now? Do we have two chairmen right now?
Well, we're not going to make this official until next meeting.
Got that, Jack?
Let me check with Jackie.
That sounds good, yes.
Okay, that makes it clear. Yep. Clears it. Okay, let's move on to the... the next one, I guess Larry Smith has expressed interest in vice chair. Should I be doing this? Okay, are there any other nominees for vice chair?
I move nominations be closed.
Okay, second. I got a second in there. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of Larry Smith as vice chair?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I will abstain. Okay, that's unanimous. We do a flip-flop. Chuck is the chair for the next meeting, and I'll go to the vice chair. Any other questions? Okay. Yes.
I have a question. Chuck, With this added responsibility, do you assume you'll be in the country for most of the meetings? you weren't last year.
Yes. I just had a meeting with a remote meeting with our Lao colleagues last week, and we're not looking at any travel for the foreseeable future, at least in well into 2021.
Okay.
And I would organize my trip. I think I have one or two more trips, and I organize them around not conflicting with these meetings.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. And let me just go back out and check with Jackie one more time. Jackie, you're comfortable with the process on the chair and the vice chair?
Yeah.
For record. Okay. All right. And let me see. I guess we're into the last item here. And that's for public comment. And I.
Oh, sorry, Claire. We have the announcements updates. Staff does not have any, but okay. I don't know if anyone, other commission members might.
Okay. And this is an announcement on any kind of events or activities or meetings.
Yeah.
Chair, I would like to move that we move public comment up now, since we're kind of getting late in the meeting.
Yep.
So that we have had people on for some time.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Jackie, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. Let's go out and see if we have any public comment.
Okay. It looks like we've got some veterans who must know WebEx well or figure this out. So we already have a couple hands raised. So I'll let Jenna go ahead and work with people on unmuting.
Okay. I'm going to unmute Donna Sinclair. So you are now unmuted.
Thank you. Congratulations, Mr. Chair and Mr. Vice Chair, on the election. I had the great good fortune the last couple of retreats to facilitate the meetings. And so I just wanted to say that I really appreciate seeing the work of the Commission on Aging continue, and that those meetings really started an interest in the Commission on Aging that really is continuing. So it was really a pleasure to watch this. I just wanted to echo, as a community member, someone who has family members who are in long-term care facilities, who are older people, that I would really like to see the work focus on the COVID situation and dealing with that in the next, in the next year or two. It would be wonderful if it was just over with, but like Amy Gross, I don't see that happening right away, and we have so many needs. So as a citizen, I wanted to make that statement. So thank you all for the work that you're doing, and it was really great to see you, even though you all can't see me.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate very much your comments. Okay, who's next, Jenna?
Okay, and I'm going to remind Donna, if you can lower your hand, you just click it again.
That'd be great.
Just so to help us track. Okay, so next I'm going to unmute Sarah Scott.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, great, thanks. Well, I just wanted to let you guys know that I've been meaning to come to a meeting for years, literally. I'm so happy that it came over the virtual meeting, because then I could attend. And I've always been really interested and had a lot of elderly friends growing up, and been extremely interested in elderly welfare. So I just wanted to say hello. And I also wanted to say that I've been sitting here, you haven't heard me because I've been muting, but I'm saying, oh, excellent idea. Oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Or, oh, wonderful. And I have been able to join and hear, and I have specific ideas about education, our education system, and educating our youth more about our elders. And so I'm hoping that just wanted to say hello. I'm hoping I can reach out at different points to get opinions, get ideas, find out what everybody already knows about that that subject, and just wanted to say hello.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, certainly. Go ahead.
I was at a Ridgefield City Council meeting, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago, and someone came and spoke, and I'm almost positive it was from you guys, and it was just excellent, and I hung on to the words, and I think I heard someone mention about going out to the community, but that was the way I originally heard about, or, you know, was drawn in. And I would be more than welcome if you ever need a speakers to go to different places and articulate about the needs of seniors. I would love to volunteer that too.
Can I have your name one more time?
Sure, Sarah Scott.
Okay, thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, this is Chuck Green, and I think I was also at that. I live in the Ridgefield area as well. And I think I was at that. It was Marian Anderson and Chuck Freyer who were at that one. I presented along with Jenna at Ridgefield City Council last year. We were on track to do this year as well. Unfortunately, it was one of the casualties. So thank you. I appreciate you bringing up that and offering your assistance to us.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Again, thank you, Sarah, for offering your service. I appreciate it very much.
All right, thank you.
Jenna, anyone else?
Nope, that is all.
Okay, good. Commissioners, have any comments? What was said, I think Chuck's already covered a little bit with Sarah's participation in Ridgefield. Anyone else have any comments on what was said, either on Sarah or Donna? Okay. Now we can move into the.
Franklin, and
go ahead.
Larry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin.
Oh no, go no. Off. I thought we were into the end of the adjournment. That's all.
And okay. The which announcements and so forth.
I think Franklin is wanting to adjourn.
Oh, okay. We're into
another. No,
almost.
No.
3 minutes.
What I wanted to do was first of all to ask Jenna if she could come on camera for a moment.
She can't.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you, Jackie, and you, Jenna, for this amazing job of pulling this together. The fact that you got me on without a major catastrophe, I'm really impressed and very grateful.
Yeah. Good.
My pleasure.
So thank you guys for pulling this together.
Yeah. I want to second that, because what you don't know is that there has been a lot of behind the scenes getting to tonight that Jackie and Jenna have led and organized, involving Larry and myself, the interviews that eventually brought Tanya to our board. So they have done lion's work, they've done a great job and gone above and beyond the call of duty to get us here.
Good. Does anyone have any announcements at all? Okay, Pam.
This isn't an announcement, but Larry, I just want to thank you for your leadership during this last year. And even though you're flopping now, you'll still be there providing some of that strong leadership. And I just wanted to say thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Pam. Anyone else with announcements or? Okay, Chuck, I'm going to make you a very happy camper because it is 5 minutes after five. I've been watching that clock a little bit. So, okay, I mean, make sure that we're okay with Jenna and Jackie. They got everything they need.
We do. Thank you all.
Yeah, and then commissioners, I want to thank you. I look forward to September the 16th, and congratulations, Chuck. Look forward to working with you in a different capacity. And as I say, we just got a great commission, and I'm really happy about it.
I look forward to the next year, and thank you again, Larry, for serving as chair in an abbreviated year. Sorry it got cut short, but you did a great job.
Okay. You guys have a...
One quick comment.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to thank both of you guys for your leadership and guidance. This is my first year, and I've been really impressed and very pleased to be involved with this effort. So I just want to say thank you to both of you for that. And I just want to say thank you for all the other commission members. Welcome to Tanya. But I've enjoyed getting to know all of you, and I look forward to getting to know you a little bit better.
Good. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that very much. And Tanya, congratulations and welcome. It's good to have you on your commission. You bring some excellent backgrounds and diversity that makes this commission what it is. So thank you. Anyone have anything else? Okay. So
we can have a big virtual hug. It's safe.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.